Well, the Washington Post is reporting that U.S. intelligence officials believe that Saudi operatives may have tried to spirit Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi away from the Saudi consulate in Turkey to detain him, but something went wrong and he was killed. Turkish officials released video of Khashoggi entering the consulate, but there's none of him leaving. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik has some thoughts. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
And then we have President Trump on Fox News today. We'll get to that. But he said of Khashoggi's disappearance, it's not good. He said if the crown prince of Saudi Arabia was behind it, it would be sad. But he also calls journalists the enemy of the people. And we have that California man arrested for threatening to kill reporters, quoting the president, saying they were the enemy of the people. So this is an interesting needle for Trump to thread.
Well, it shouldn't be that tough. You know, it took Trump basically a week to condemn it. He said it's bad if this happened for reporters. It's bad if it happened to anybody. He has tried to forge a strong relationship with the Saudis, and he's doing, it seems to me, the bare minimum to express concern about this disappearance.
Well, and what about the politics of it? The Saudis, of course, a strong ally.
In some ways, the hinge on which the president and the administration's Middle Eastern policy seems to pivot. And let's be clear, as you said, the Washington Post is reporting that the crown prince was the one who had set up a plot, according to intelligence intercepted by U.S. authorities, designed to trap Khashoggi in Saudi Arabia and detain him there. So it suggests that, you know, that good intentions of the Saudis, who say that they are concerned for the disappeared journalist's well-being as well, may not be all that genuine.
We'll talk more about that, because this plot was when Khashoggi was at home in Virginia, and intelligence is showing that the Saudis were trying to, you know, kind of lure him from Virginia to Saudi Arabia to detain him. And there's a lingering question about what U.S. intelligence officials knew and what the Trump White House might have known and when they knew it, and whether or not they should have warned him about it.
Sure. According to the reporting, it suggests that there is an obligation from federal authorities to inform somebody if their life appears to be in threat. Khashoggi had talked to associates of his growing concerns about the Saudi regime's intentions toward him. And let's be clear, this is a place that essentially is at the very bottom of the World Press Freedom Index. It's a place that has essentially no opposition media to the government regime. And in this instance, Khashoggi has been somebody who has at times praised the crown prince, but also been critical. And he felt that some of the overtures that were coming to him from the Saudis were not sincere. And there's great fear, particularly at the Washington Post and people who know Khashoggi, his fiancée included, that dreadful harm has befallen him.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. But meantime, President Trump has been making connections with the press. So while we have you, want to ask about those. USA Today published an opinion column from the president on Wednesday. He accused Democrats of trying to eviscerate Medicare. He makes other claims, saying without evidence that the Democrats' Medicare for All proposal would lead to a rationing of health care, that previously covered care would effectively be denied. He said he promised to protect coverage to patients with pre-existing conditions, even as he's demonstrably taken action as president that imperils that coverage. Several other news outlets have criticized USA Today for publishing that op-ed with its inaccuracies. Is that a fair criticism? It's the president of the United States.
I mean, my goodness, this is something in which NPR fact-checked, the New York Times did, Washington Post's fact-checker Glenn Kessler said there was something untrue in every single sentence of this opinion piece by the president. You know, in some ways, this exposes the dirty little secret of op-eds, which is that many newspapers don't have the ability or the inclination to fact-check opinion pieces, both because of staffing concerns and also because they want to give room for people to express their opinions and not to inhibit what they consider robust debate. In this case, you have an administration and president that are so alienated from the fact and so unshamed by having that pointed out to them that to simply allow the president to post that seems problematic. As one small example, Glenn Kessler of the Washington Post pointed out that USA Today had introduced to the online version of Trump's piece hyperlinks to stories that might tend to bolster his argument. In one of those cases, it linked to a fact-check article that completely contradicted the president's assertion, and yet they let it be printed in their edition anyway.
Well, there's that. And then the president called into Fox and Friends today, and 47-minute live interview, range of topics, largely bashing the Democrats going into the midterms, also talking about some economic policy. In fact, his director of the National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, had to go on to CNBC afterwards to make a correcting statement saying, no, the president isn't announcing new economic policy. What's your sense of the president at this point? An op-ed piece, 47-minute live chat on Fox and Friends.
A call-in last night to Shannon Bream of Fox News at the tail end of primetime.
What's going on?
President wants to be essentially, a persistent guest host on Fox. If you remember during the primary season and the general election in 2016, pretty much anything he said publicly would be televised live on the three cable channels. MSNBC and CNN have sort of weaned themselves off that. And Fox News seems to be doing that as well, as some of its ratings have dipped. He used to get great ratings for Fox, and now that has declined a bit. So he's calling in. If they're not going to take his rallies, he's going to sort of rally on their air. He'll call in. He'll ramble. On. He'll sit down. I'll do Jeanine Pirro. That's a weekend host for Fox. He's calling into her. He is talking to a very specific base voter he wants to turn out for the midterms and get affirmation from.
Well, in doing so, he's returning to familiar turf. NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik, thanks as always.
You bet.